Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Monday the 17th of January. Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. And a bit DJ then. Sorry, Luke. You all right?
No, don't apologize.
Whoa, steady. Almost sounded professional, didn't it?
The radio industry's loss is very much the podcast industry's gain.
Indeed. Luke, I want to jump straight in with two things. There is an Iranian beauty queen that's not allowed a US visa because of Syrian link. Her name's Lynn Clive, and I think it might be the best name I've ever heard.
Lynn Clive.
L-E-E-N. Clive.
Lynn Clive.
Isn't the UK.
It's like that football manager last week we talked about on the Ramble, Russ Penn.
Yes, exactly, yeah. I think it's a really interesting name, and I think...
Lynn Clive.
I'd love to be known as Lynn Clive.
Because there would be another guy in the pub called Fat Clive.
Yeah, and he'd be Lynn Clive. Yeah,
like Jim's mate in the pub... We knew a guy called Hated Martin.
Hated Martin. Sounds like an affectation, but I believe Jim. He's not a liar.
My friend is, to say the least, a very enthusiastic local to his local pub. Mm. So I respect it because it's like, you know, some people who just love boozing. Mm. There's absolutely no judgment at all. It's absolutely, you know, they like to have a bit of drink, good for them.
There's a difference between boozing and drinking, I would say. Boozing is just, it's a lifestyle. It's the pub. It's the scampi fries. Yeah. It's the beer. Yeah. But drinking is like, oh.
But sometimes.
Daddy's been drinking.
But tell me if I'm on shady ground here, right? Tell me if I can say this. Mm. Excuse me, right?
It's like a bit of.
It's COVID,
fluff,
mate.
Down there.
Hanging around the car.
Yeah, but mine never, I'm an asthmatic, and it never got kind of like syrupy down there.
Luck
so
of
to
the draw.
Speak.
You can't cheat the age and the BMI factor. I'm absolutely fine, by the way. I know that people will think, why is he in the studio when he's coughing? I've
Stop
not got
coughing
COVID.
On me. Oh, it feels well now.
Yeah. It's fine. It's proven it. talk to me about this, right? So you know that like some people have addictive problems with certain things, whether that be gambling or drinking or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things.
And, wearing rad clothes like me.
Yeah, you are very much addicted to many
to
things. I get that that's a problem, and I get that, you know, society has a responsibility, and I'm personally of the opinion you want to treat it like an illness and look after that person rather than criminalise them, and all that good stuff, right? But I sometimes feel like there are plenty of people out there who like to have a beer, or who like to have a bet, or who like to do whatever, and it's not a problem, and I wonder whether the society we're in now makes it them uncomfortable.
Unpalatable.
It makes them uncomfortable. Because you know what? Someone might say, do you know what? I've got a busy job. You know, three times a week, I walk past my local pub where all my friends are, and I like to have a pint before dinner, and I go home, and then I have my dinner, and I have a perfectly lovely time. Mm. You don't really hear about people like that anymore.
People don't go
but
to the pub
every day.
But they
must still exist.
Yeah. People just don't go to the pub every day, do they? But they drink at home, you know? And it's that kind
it's
of like...
It's expensive, I guess.
Glass of, well, no, but like, go to the pub is like, I would argue, is more social. Than drinking at home, and people just will see off a bottle of wine at night and think nothing of it. But going to the pub every night, it's a problem.
You reckon?
Yeah, like you say, like going to the pub every night, people would sort of go, "Oh, go to the pub every night."
That's
but
what I'm saying.
Would, but people would find it okay to have a glass of wine with dinner, or whatever, or two glasses of wine. You know,
I feel like because I'm not a very big drinker, and I feel like I've been conditioned. Even me, who's perfectly relaxed about drinking, I don't have a problem with it. I do it, and I know plenty of people do, obviously, and you know, fairly kind of normal on that front. Well, fairly not normal, because that's the wrong thing to say, pretty mainstream on that front. I feel like I've been conditioned to be thinking that people who like to have a drink, it's wrong. But it ain't wrong. Why is it wrong?
Is it wrong? I'm you know, I'm a confirmed binge drinker. I don't generally drink if I don't want to get drunk. What do you mean?
You're undermining my point.
So you're saying I have a problem?
Don't say that, oh yeah, well you sent me a whole slab of Tisky for Christmas like you do every year and I drank all of it
and now I feel like shit. Because they are, you know, politically a bit off. You know,
I sent it because you told me it's your favourite lager.
I know it is my favourite lager. So because I've got a reputation, the neighbours give me cans. I got some of that for Christmas from them as well. I've got a reputation of a Tisky man, and I don't never need to buy it because people buy them from me Christmas.
What's your neighbour like?
That crate
he drinks Tisky all the time. Lager. And pulls lamb shanks out of his garden. What must they
think? It's not a good ref, is it?
What must they think?
It's not a good ref.
And the thing is, I think every Tisky you drink in full view
brings me closest to the Lord.
Well, yeah, is a sweet relief. Is a thumb in the eye of your neighbourly guy who gives you your rum for free. You're not drinking that.
That is true. He's moved on to vodka. Lee vodka. Honestly, it's very good. I'm not a big.
I don't want to be disrespectful to him, but it doesn't sound good.
What do you mean?
Leon C. Vodka distilled in Essex.
Well, it's not distilled in Essex. It'd be distilled somewhere else, but he imports and puts a label on it.
Okay.
It looks very nice.
That's furniture polish. I don't think you should be drinking it.
Moonshine. But
what
I
was saying? I was making a random point about the fact that there are plenty of people out there who like to have a drink and they're fine.
My dad goes to the pub every day.
I've seen photos of your dad's pub. It looks quite flat roofed.
It's the pub in Glasgow that helicopter came down from. It looks like exactly like that. Do you remember the pictures from that?
I think someone died. You can't say things like that.
What do you mean? Well, you remember the pub, don't you? Sort of going, that is a shit pub. And my
dad's
pub.
There was a
servant
MP in there. He rescued some people.
Yeah. Fair dues. All right.
But your dad likes to go to a flat roof pub.
Yeah.
And what does he drink?
Flat roof drinks. He just drinks his normal stuff. But he's hilarious because the bloke, I'm trying to talk euphemistically, but I don't think I can. It doesn't really fucking matter. There is an empire, a small Hartlepool-based empire, northeast-based empire, that runs the small corner shops and pub racket. So they certainly did in the 80s, right?
You can do libel by implication, you know that.
You are?
You can do libel by implication.
I'm not implying, nothing I've said is untrue.
Okay, right.
And nothing I'm going to say is untrue. Okay. But this empire, you know, they used to own a lot of shops and stuff and a lot of pubs in the area. And people who live in Hartlepool will know exactly the name of the family because it's the family's pub. And they've got loads of them all around Hartlepool. Not as many as they used to, and
still a family-owned business, is it?
Still a family-owned business, and you know they're still kind of plying their trade in between the fucking 7-Elevens and the shops that, you know, the spas and the shops that have come in to take over and stuff. Yeah. And they're still maintaining, but it's an empire that's crumbled somewhat simply because, you know, Hartlepool's not nobody's got any fucking money and nobody's spent it. So
tale as old as time,
so,
isn't it?
And so the son of this empire. Floats around different pubs, you know, checking that everything's okay. So floats around different shops.
Isn't that a film with Christian Bale in it?
What?
Empire of the Sun.
What?
She's the son of the empire.
Son of the empire, yeah.
Sounds a lot more grandiose than the people who own two pubs in Hartlepool.
Yeah, the offspring of the empire.
Well, you have to just survive the empire. Looks like you're standing at the bar.
The offspring just sort of goes round and he's probably about 50 or whatever, right?
Okay.
So he turns up, he rocks up, and he'll stay for a pint every now and again. And
the pub your dad's in, normally?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And he gets such short shrift from the old farts in that pub, it is fucking hilarious. Whatever he says, they will literally say to his face, "Ah, fuck off."
Right.
They will literally tell him to fuck off.
Why?
Because, I'll tell you why. Because they had a bit of money. They probably still got a fair bit of money. He's had a life where he's gone on safari in South Africa and met celebrities. Celebrities, I don't really remember, but celebrities nonetheless.
Like Lawrence.
The sort of celebrity that would be on New Faces or something. Like, you know, your Jim Davidson level kind of.
Bob Carroll, Jesus, Spit the Dog.
So that sort of thing. And this chap, bless him, will try and impress these old farts by name dropping because it's all he's got, in my opinion, to impress them. And they take that as an affront, and they sort of go, take your fucking private jet that you took once to Safari, you know, your DC-50, take it and shove it up your ass. I don't want to talk to you about that. And they give him this really short shrift. And my dad gets involved. My dad, he's not like part of a bullying group, but, but this guy will sort of go, I met this bloke, I did that, and my dad will go, I'll just fuck off.
Why does he keep going to the pub then?
I think he thinks it's banter. I think he likes the experience. I mean, he has to help run the pub. You know, he has to run pubs. But I like it because he is basically, knowing everyone, get all the blokes in the pub to give him short shrift, because he is like the Mies of this world who go back home to the hometown and sort of tell them all about what they've been up to in that there London.
Is that what you do?
Well, that's what we all do to a certain extent. And then this happened, and then we met this person. And there's something inside the dad that sort of goes, oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You think you're so fucking high and mighty. And he's basically the living embodiment of every son, every person who sort of moved away. And he's kind of like, and every old bloke in the pub fucking hits him.
Can we get him on?
Because he's indicative of someone in their lives that they think they've got too high and mighty about.
Yeah.
So I watch my dad, the dynamic between this bloke and my dad, and it's exactly the same dynamic that he has with me.
So your dad it's basically fantastic. Tells you to fuck off all the time?
Well, I'll talk about like Black Lives Matter or you know, Me Too or something, and my dad will have a comment about it from his point of view, bearing in mind he's been reading the Daily Mail for fucking years and, you know, anti-war agenda and all that shit that he's been served up by the fucking television he watches and the papers that he reads. And so we have this kind of like dynamic where it's a little bit strained here and there, and I know which buttons not to push and stuff.
Yeah.
But this guy is just like, all the dads in the place just hate this fucking son.
It's an outlet.
He's a punching bag. He's an avatar for all the sons who moved away and think they're fucking Billy Bollocks because they moved to York.
He should start charging them.
He should.
How do you think the NFT special's going so far?
What do you mean? Oh, this NFT special. Yeah. Well, I thought the NFTs would be in the second half.
They will be.
So, yeah.
First half, very much Hartlepool pubs and the bullying of young men.
Yeah.
Pete, I don't have any equivalent of that, I'm sad to say, because none of my family have really been a local kind of pub type of person. Well, my uncle was, but I never used to go drinking with him. But what was your dad's point of choice?
It's one of those ones that's got a proper, it's not on, it's got a proper like pulley tap tap.
So it's an ale?
An ale. And it's got like an old, it looks like an old ship. They all look like old ships' emblems, don't they?
Yeah.
Sort of on the side. It'll be one that's called Old Navy or something like that.
What do you think? No, seriously, think about it. What name would you give it? It'll be called something like Old Peculiar or something, right?
Yeah.
Or Bishop's Finger.
Stinky Finger or something, yeah. Naughty Lad.
I like Bishop's Finger. The little
Naughty Lad.
Bishop's Finger's great because...
The right rotter.
In terms of the name, because it's like... What would a 60-year-old man who almost certainly voted for Brexit think is the closest to a politically incorrect joke he'd get away with?
Right.
And he's really happy that he's got away with it. Do you know what I mean? Because it implies something rude or
you
something
know what?
Not un-PC.
I didn't even fucking... Yeah, the bishop's finger.
Good. Oh, is it his penis? Oh, what's he doing with his finger? He's a bishop. No. He shouldn't really be doing this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of vibe,
naughty.
Isn't it? It's Jeremy Clarkson's idea of a funny joke, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
oh dear.
I was going to ask you a question. Speaking of when we mentioned kind of NFTs, so I'm going to briefly bring something in which is in some way related to boozing. Now, there was a. I don't really understand this that much, so bear with me. And I must be something I'm missing here. So, 90 Day Fiancé is a TV show that the wife I have access to absolutely loves, right?
Yes.
It's a great fucking show. I don't think anyone could... I'm not snobby about TV. I know you're not either. I think there's a tendency for people to say one of two things or do one of two things. First of all, say, I don't watch much TV, which is complete fucking bullshit. Or two, try and think of TV to be, you know, I don't know, The Sopranos and anything else isn't The Sopranos isn't legitimate as TV, right? I would disagree. I think that, you know, Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, the first season, one of the best TV shows of all time. You know, the MasterChef professional skills test at the start of each episode. Amazing TV, right? 90 Day Fiancé, although for my personal taste, it's a bit too manipulative and a little bit on dodgy territory. When it's good, it's a good show. It's proper human interest, speaks to modern life, all the rest of it. There was someone on 90 Day Fiancé called Stephanie Matto, who used to, weirdly, and I don't know how this can be true, but it's being reported as true everywhere and people aren't questioning it. There must be something happening I don't know about, right? She used to make £38,000 a week on average selling her farts in a jar.
That was not me smelling bad. That's not me smelling bad. Yeah, I saw this story and she made a lot of money. I mean, that can't be everything that she... What are you getting out of that, lads? Do you just buy one?
That's a one-hit deal.
Yeah.
They're $1,000 a jar.
Right. And she makes $37,000 a year.
£38,000
right.
a week.
So she's farting into a jar 38 times.
No, because it's pounds to dollars. So you're about 45 to 50 farts a week, probably.
Yeah, okay.
That's it. It's doable.
It'd be doable for me, certainly.
But you got the logistics of the jars is going to be the tough bit.
What, posting them out and stuff?
No, actually having a jar to hand.
Oh, you'd have to have them all around the house, wouldn't you? And then you're just the guy with the fart jars all over the house, aren't you?
So
you've given it to Hermes, and God knows what they're doing in the DHL.
DPD.
DPD. God knows what they're doing.
Yeah, silent but deadly. SPD. But my point, that's not the end of the story, right? So that's right. Weird as it is, right? Yeah. To me, that's a kind of weird...
Sexy story.
Is it sexy, though?
What a sexy story.
Is it?
I just don't know how many you buy. Have you got to buy loads? Do you have a collection? Are they like Funko? Look, it's better than Funko Pops. It's more...
It sounds like she could be calling them Funko Pops. But that brand's already taken. But so what that meant was she... I don't know if the two things are related, but so she had to go to hospital because she said in her own words she thought she was having a stroke. And she recalled how she would drink 3 protein shakes and a huge bowl of black bean soup to give her the pump. And she had a problem with her heart, right? So she had to stop doing it.
Yeah.
What she's now doing is she's basically... she's now selling them as digital artworks on the blockchain.
Right.
So I guess
fartworks.
Fartworks. Should have missed the trick there, Metro.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the many, many things you've done wrong with the story.
Non-fartable token.
Well, it's a fartable token. I guess each of the jars would look different, but they're now digital jars on the blockchain.
Right.
Now, that brings us nicely into our NFT chat.
What the hell's an NFT?
What does that mean?
Well, she's selling it just like anybody else.
But what's the link
NFT?
With the fart? You can't smell an NFT.
I mean, there are a lot of, there's a lot of problems with owning NFTs and not being able to smell them. It's probably down the end of a very, very long list, to be honest. But yeah, it's just a way of expressing your fandom, I suppose. And that is kind of how NFTs operate. It's the same people who queue outside Supreme waiting for a particular drop. The T-shirts aren't inherently more valuable. They're just rarer, aren't they? You know, it's a T-shirt conceptual. With Supreme written on it. They've found a way of making something that's copyable and transferable, non-transferable and valuable.
Can I just say that I didn't know what Supreme was about 3 months ago?
Yeah. That fucking logo is everywhere, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I knew that it was a thing. I recognised the logo, but I didn't know that it was such a big deal.
Yeah. It's just sneaker heads just getting into digital art, isn't it, really? It's the people who are, like, buying certain... And video game people as well. It's people who, like... people who like certain costumes in video games that they're running around in. You know, people who spend ages grinding away to get the most valuable...
I was actually going to ask you about that. So, you know, I play PUBG quite a lot.
Yeah. It's your winner, winner, two chicken dinner.
No, but you can, I don't do this, but you can pay real money to get things in the game.
Yeah.
It's like that, right?
And most of them aren't, they don't advance your skills at all. They just make you look different. Yeah. It just basically says to the other players, that guy spent 10 grand on a lot of bollocks.
But I see that and I think you're an idiot.
You do, but many don't. They sort of go, oh my God, that guy's got... I was in the game and I saw a guy... with a fucking dildo taped to his head. You would not believe. I saw it was just taped to his head and he ran around and he didn't kill me because he's an idiot.
Couldn't see where he's going. I think if I was selling farts in a jar, I would probably be the Lidl. The macro.
Right, okay,
the cash and carry.
Yeah,
like, loads of them, but really cheap.
Yeah,
it's not a premium product for me. I'm not the Marks and Spencer of fart in a jar.
I'd have admin issues. I'd need to... Mine would be Iceland. Mine would be all frozen.
Well,
I'd have supply chain issues. There'd be poo in there. I'd follow through, it'd be a mess.
If there was a big lineup and a big customer base for your pumps, weirdly enough, the fact that you've gone vegetarian recently would be a big change in the odour.
Big boon. A big...
It'd be a big change of product. Yeah. Like when Coke changed their recipe.
It'd be like the McRib.
Yeah.
It'd just be sort of doing that for a month and then you never see it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's rock and roll, there's like heavy metal musicians, aren't there? Like those kind of death metal type musicians who would like make themselves puke on stage and stuff.
Mm.
I know that one of them, who was it? I forget who it was now, but they used to have a dead crow in a jar.
It was the drummer from Slipknot.
That's right. And he used to open it up and that would make him puke.
Now that's going to make you ill, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just think to yourself, do you not stop to think at any point? I didn't think my life would turn out like this.
It's a very, why would you need a full craw? Surely like a little vial of craw, decomposing craw meat.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be a craw. Just get a roast chicken. Like, you would get the exact same effect.
What, with
a
roast rotten chicken?
Yeah.
It's rotten.
Yeah.
Christmas Day turkey.
My Christmas Day turkey.
Yeah, do a job.
The lamb shank that Buckley found in the garden.
Yeah, exactly. Let's have a break. When we come back, we'll get some people who actually know what they're talking about, tell us about NFTs, which will be exciting. And I'll tell you now, one of them is called Henry. hello@lukeandpictures.com for emails. And we'll read out some that have already been sent in right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ooh, baby, I love your way.
Every day.
It is time for some Luke and Pete Show fun.
Yeah, well, it's been that for the last 17 minutes.
I know, right?
NFTs, right?
NFTs. We're there. We're going to solve it all.
I'm a crypto don, as you know.
I'm a crypto bro.
But NFT, I'm not fully versed in. So I've got two explanations here. One's short and one's long. I'll read the short one. You read the long one. Okay. Henry Payne. Hello to you, Henry. Sorry for mocking your name before the break. I wasn't really mocking it, just saying that you called Henry. And in my opinion, someone into NFTs would be called Henry. Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah, I was reading the long email. It's very long, confusing. It's confusing for me.
You can paraphrase it. Henry, have I been mean to Henry?
No, I don't think you have. That's okay. Fine.
I've got a Hoover called Henry.
Some of my best friends are Henrys.
Happy New Year, says Henry. Sounds like a nice guy. Starts it off well.
Yeah.
Here is an explanation of how NFT works quicker than you could order a pint. You haven't been to the pubs I've been. Well, listen, not Pete's dad's pub.
No.
Bloody hell.
Barely anybody in there.
Take the Mona Lisa sitting in the Louvre. Someone owns it. No idea who. Some billionaire somewhere who then loans it to the Louvre, probably. Their proof is most likely a contract or certificate of authenticity. You can go and look at it. You can take a picture of it. You can buy copies on all sorts of dross merchandise, but it doesn't mean you own the original. That's basically how NFTs work. But digitally, someone owns the original as much as people screenshot it and the proof is a... Someone owns the original as much as people screenshot it and the proof is a code on the blockchain which everyone can see. I hope this helps. Let us know if not. Cheers, Henry.
Beautifully done, Henry.
So what I guess that means is that Yeah, I get it. I get
it. What that means is, it's just expend it all.
It's actually quite a good way of instantly being able to, what I was going to say was, I guess that means it's also an instant way of stopping like fraud and fraudulent kind of paintings and all that kind of stuff, fake stuff.
Yeah, and I think that the reasons why people find it unpalatable at the moment is there's an environmental cost, obviously, as anything on the crypto chains are, it's computationally expensive, and that cost has to be ratified by energy being used, and people are quite upset by NFTs because a lot of the stuff that is getting exchanged, and you know, your John Terry fucking Christmas NFT was fucking hilarious because the art is so shit, it's generic, it's been made by someone on Fiverr for, you know, 20 quid here, 20 quid there. They've got a base picture of a fucking ape and they've put, and
but
they're just
drawn
on it.
Do you think that he gets it?
Say again.
Do you think that he, John Terry, gets it?
No. I don't think any footballer really understands it more than their agent sort of going, you want to get involved with this because you will make fucking shitloads. It is the gold rush. It is the gold rush. Like,
that's interesting. You think it's a gold rush?
They're just selling shovels, aren't they? It's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's a gold rush.
But I like John Terry's social media because he's just so unapologetic. He'll do that.
Yeah.
Which people will go,
he'll go clear pigeon shooting.
That's mental. He'll dress up like a farmer and go do clay pigeon shooting. Yeah. He'll do really lot. I like John Terry's Twitter and Insta. He will do really long monologues to camera, just saying, "Happy Christmas." Like,
yeah,
look at my life. It's brilliant.
It's clearly not. It's not PR'd for me.
No,
it is just him. He's basic, but with a little bit of menace behind it.
Oh, big time! Yeah, big time. Both in physicality and family background. Carry on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I find this all interesting. I think I've not seen anything currently that's been sort of churched around, sold and bought, that I sort of go, wow, I want a bit of that. A lot of people will sort of talk about their NFT collection and what they're doing in that space. And I've, you know, recently listened to quite a lot of like Twitter spaces of creators and people who are selling stuff. And they talk about this art like it's revolutionary. Like and the way that things have been bought and sold is revolutionary and decentralized. Internet is important. It will become more important, but I'm yet to see any art that I haven't gone, Jesus Christ, that is a piece of shit. And people are getting very excited about the collection and stuff, but none of them actually talk about the people who actually fucking made the pictures.
Well,
you know what I mean? There's no love for the artist.
My question,
I've got this.
Yeah.
And there is a new drop coming.
My question is also this, right? I understand the idea that you will own the original copy or the original piece of artwork, as Henry's helpfully explained to us, which we thank him for. But I still don't know how that makes you money, because you need to be able to sell it. Someone needs to want to buy it from you.
Yeah.
So I buy an NFT for 100 quid.
Yeah.
Well, there's, as far as I know, the thing that kind of doesn't explain what Henry's saying and what he hasn't really covered is that I get all that.
Why does it make it inherently?
There's only one fucking Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
There's billions of these NFTs.
Well, no, but I mean, but if someone painted a picture of the Mona Lisa with a pair of cool shades on the top, you know what I mean?
That's, yeah, but forget about the kind of ersatz kind of offshoot fucking shit over the top.
Yeah.
What I mean is, I'm asking you, I guess, a basic supply and demand question, which is, if it's the gold rush and everyone's doing it,
yeah,
well, then what makes each individual one special?
Well, I would posit that it isn't.
The gold rush is a gold rush, literally, because there was loads of gold everywhere.
Yeah.
And people were like, just get me as much gold as I can. It's not an artistic thing.
Yeah. But this is a pyramid scheme. At its broadest, it's a pyramid scheme. But, like, so yeah, they do need more people to get involved. And this year, there'll be more people than ever before getting involved. I haven't got a handle on it where I haven't seen anything that isn't just a way to express your fandom, so to speak. The NHL, you know, NFL, NHL, all the big entertainment companies and stuff, they're releasing NFTs. Video game companies, Square Enix came out, the first speech they made this year, saying that I hope that people who love our games are going to get, you know, we're going to release more NFT stuff. I hope that the crypto space becomes more important to video games and stuff. And the people who just want to play video games for fun, are a different character, a different, not as valuable customer for us. An astonishing thing for a video game manufacturer to say.
Right.
It is the first thing you say in 2022.
Yeah.
It's all looking a bit grim. Is it indicative of a crumbling society? I would posit yes. And
it feels like proper like late stage capitalism.
But yeah, but then there is, you know, there is an argument to sort of say that the other part of the Web 3.0 stuff, the metaverse stuff, the something that they fucking nailed about 20 years ago with Second Life, let's make that very clear. Mm. I think that is liberating, and it will be interesting to see how those spaces are.
Can we get into the metaverse and just do this podcast in the metaverse as well?
It depends on how long we spend making our little avatars.
Oh, take not very long. You probably take ages.
Because I look like everyone.
You look like Nick Cage. Let's not do the second explanation.
Again, Jake Turbot got in and he explained NFTs a little bit longer, but it's similar sort of thing. He finishes saying, I think they'll be around for a while and they're not all shit, so they're worth understanding. I think that is I agree with that message. I think people should understand what they are, what they represent, and we shouldn't just sort of go throw them out and sort of go, this is fucking nonsense. The way they're being used, and a lot of the more famous examples of them are shit and stupid, but there's an argument to say, I don't know, what do I like? That Interpol fucking album that they did with David Lynch. And David Lynch has a real stick in his ass about people watching his stuff not on cinema screens and on like laptops or whatever. So people, to spite him, will like format a version of his films and TV shows to go on like a Game Boy and stuff to really piss him off, which is funny. And I'd sort of go, well, look, that's something that's unique. And it is about being a collector. It is about fandom and stuff like that. So I understand why people get involved with that side of things. But that's because I like that. I don't like pictures of apes with fucking worms coming out of his face. I like Interpol. I like David Lynch.
Right.
Because I'm a fucking old hipster.
Let's end by doing an email about ninjas.
Yes, please.
Tom from Vancouver, come on down. The time is now. Pete Donaldson, you're up.
Okay. Let me find it. I've got to find it first.
Oh, fuck it.
You just pick one out of your bum.
I'll spring it on you.
Hi, the Looker Pete. Hi, Looker Pete. Your exploration of the ninja gym this other week made me remember something I was told about them many years ago. I lived in Japan in my early 20s, and amongst many of the ignorant preconceptions we young Westerners were disabused of, no, Japanese people don't eat sushi exclusively, and no, it's not necessarily a high-tech wonderland. Fax machines and ATMs that close when the bank does. Was this one about the nature of the traditional ninja costume. We picture ninjas dressed head to toe in black, but when you stop to think about it, it's not the most practical outfit. Firstly, black doesn't even work that well as a camouflage, as the night sky is never really pitch black. A very dark navy blue would probably blend in much better, while black would stand out. Secondly, ninjas were assassins whose aim was to go unnoticed, so it's far more likely that they'd be dressed for their environment, most likely as peasants or farmers. The origins of the all-black outfit are unclear, but there are theories that it comes from, or was at least popularised by, its use in Japanese theatre. Kuroko are stagehands who would often be called upon to appear on stage to perform the role of an animal or another character that would be represented by a prop they were holding. They'd be dressed in black to indicate to the audience that they were invisible. It's a little bit like the Muppets and stuff. They do this stuff like that, don't they?
Yeah.
And then in the 17th century, some clever theatre director realised they could use this invisibility as a plot device by having a ninja character appear in plain sight on stage throughout a performance as seemingly nothing more than a kuroko, and thus remaining unnoticed by the audience until it was time for the dramatic reveal. Audiences loved it and soon became a popular device. Just somebody hanging out on stage and they go, I forgot, yeah, he's not going to do anything. He just did something.
I love that explanation.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I don't know what extent to which this contributed to the modern image of a ninja, but I love the fact that even 400 years ago, meta was already a thing.
Yeah.
I've been a listener since day one, and keep the good work, etc., etc. All the best, Tom in Vancouver, Canada.
I'd love to go to Vancouver.
I'd love to go to bloody Japan again, mate.
Oh, yeah. When's the last time you went?
2 years ago.
Still got your ninja, still got your ninja outfit.
I think I've still got a ninja star somewhere.
Do you agree with Tom's assessment about what Japan's actually like in real life?
Yeah, massively. They're so backwards when it comes to technology and stuff. Like we think.
Really?
Yeah, we think it's all futuristic. It's not. It's all like if you go to a bank, instead of a signature, you've got a Hankou stamp, like a little kind of inky stamp you stamp, and they're trying to get rid of them. You can't get insurance. You can't get a mobile phone. You can't. They're so kind of like insular, and it has to be done a certain way, and there's a lot of admin, and nothing's digital. Comparatively, I imagine smartphone usage is way down. People just have these like flip phones, or they certainly did like 2 years ago. It's not a, it's just, it's a weird kind of futuristic and not futuristic thing. Fax machines are huge, as he says.
Huh.
Weird.
On that note, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Great way to finish. Guys. Thank you very much for everyone to everyone for listening. We're back on Thursday.
We are.
With more of this stuff.
Ninjas, fellas, Thursday. The original NFT.
Yeah. Ninja Fellas Thursday, which is what it actually stands for. Yeah, and we'll speak to you then. Have a great rest of the week. Yeah, keep it locked on Luke and Pete. Tell everyone you know about the show. Leave us a review on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast. At Luke and Pete Show on Twitter and Instagram. I've jumped on the Instagram recently, posted a few bits. And hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address as ever. We'll look forward to hearing from you there too. Thanks to you, Peter.
Ta-ta.
Thanks to you as well, listeners, and we'll speak to you next time.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.